Making America Smart Again. It's the Krieger Files with Dave Krieger. Are you tired of your boss stealing from your paycheck to send to a government that's writing checks its body can't cash? It's the government's worst nightmare. Dave Krieger.
5 minutes after the hour here on our infamous edition of the Krieger Files. Appreciate you joining us this morning. Hope you're having a good day so far. For those of you small businesses out there, our friend at the Supreme Court, Matthew Vadim, is reporting about these BOI reports. This is all part of the mandated Federal Corporate Transparency Act. It's an anti-money laundering law. And what it did was it required millions of small businesses to file information returns about their owners with proof of their U.S. citizenship. In other words, Article 1, contract citizenship. Because as you know, corporations and businesses out there are all statutory creatures. And of course, you had to file this information return called a BOI by January 1 or face stiff fines. How stiff is it, you wonder? Well, you see, this is FinCEN, right? But a separate court injunction halted the enforcement of it. So I'm still getting junk emails and junk letters telling me I have to file this BOI report because I've got, you know, several small businesses. And I'm like, I don't think so. Don't have to. Just delete them. That is a for sure thing. The statute provides affected corporate entities have to file reports with the federal government about their beneficial owners, which means individuals with substantial control over the entity or who own or control 25% of the entity. Oh, gee, that would be Soros, wouldn't it? See what he gets away with? You know, 33 million small businesses face fines of as much as $591 a day. However, all that's been put on hold. Amos Mazant, the U.S. District Court for Eastern District of Texas, the judge, found that the CTA and the reporting rule were both likely unconstitutional. The case was Texas Top Cop Shop versus Garland. Texas Top Cop Shop. Isn't that something? All these lawsuits. Oh, man. And see, it's a big waste of time. And, of course, for those of you nonprofits out there, you don't have to file. You're exempt if you're nonprofit. See, that gets Catholic Charities off the hook. You know who Catholic Charities are, remember? They're the ones that helps illegal immigrants break the law, and you're funding it, right? If you donate anything, you know, Catholic Charities USA is putting its money where its mouth is. They released a video outlining a step-by-step instructions for how illegals can thwart authorities and continue to break U.S. law. It includes standard advice like reminding the individuals and the criminals that they should avoid sprinting away upon being spotted, and some more clearly anti-law recommendations like the alien stonewalling authorities by refusing to answer questions about how they got into the U.S. Two-thirds of its revenue, Catholic Charities, amounts to billions of dollars, comes from the government. And so all grants have been stopped. So Catholic Charities is not going to get any more government grants, at least that we know of. They're going to try and stop that. Yesterday we talked about the idea of boycotting Target. Well, black founders and influencers, we're talking about black-owned brands. I don't know whether you can count Uncle Ben's and Aunt Jemima as part of that because they pretty much wiped that out. It's like when they changed the Washington Redskins to the Washington Commanders. It's like, what were you people thinking? Oh, you were just succumbing to wokeness. I get it. But this boycott would hurt minority businesses, the founders say. Brands feared the loss of exposure on Target shelves, breaking trust with consumers, one analyst says. Well, Mr. Analyst, I got news for you. They did it to Bud Light, and they'll do it to Target. And if the black-owned brands want to get anywhere, what they have to do is go somewhere else and market their products to places that aren't woke, like Walmart, who quit that. So Target doesn't want to end diversity. So if they don't want to do that, then so be it. SOL, right? Malwarebytes, that is a software targeting program that basically figures out whether somebody's phishing on your website or in your email or on your phone. It is warning, don't sell or buy a secondhand iPhone with TikTok already installed. Seriously, TikTok has had a rough time in the U.S. the last weeks. Of course, now Trump has extended it, but the problem is, even if it has been reopened again, a lot of U.S. phone users are seeing that, sorry, we can't come back. Or it says, welcome back, thanks for your patience. As a result of President Trump's effort, TikTok is back in the U.S. Anybody that is deleted or never had the app installed or unable to download it, as the Apple and Google app stores in the U.S. still don't have it available. And despite the executive order to delay enforcing this ban, some people have seized on this as a money-making opportunity, selling their iPhones for thousands of dollars on eBay. Not smart. When you tap erase all content and settings, it completely erases your device, including any credit or debit cards you added for Apple Pay and any photos, contact, music, or apps. It'll turn off iCloud, iMessage, FaceTime, Game Center, and other services. Your content won't be deleted from iCloud when you erase your device. If you want to leave an app like TikTok behind, you're going to have to manually erase all the other items on that list to make sure the buyer will not get hold of other private information about you. And we're talking about the buyer of TikTok. This is tough to do. Highly likely you would leave some of your data behind. It's called a digital footprint, folks. Don't you just hate smartphones? So the idea is, don't buy a secondhand iPhone with TikTok already installed. Smart move. By the way, I think we told you that they were going to be deporting about 18,000 Indians. You ever heard of Gil Garcetti? He's the ambassador to India. He basically just announced that 2 million visitor visas for Indians were issued between 2023 and 2024. 2 million visitor visas, allowing, oh my gosh, by golly, all of them came over to the United States. Yep, this according to a report in Real Clear Politics. Imagine that. And they're only going to deport 18,000 of them back to India? Oh, what about Pelosi's? What's Polly P and his wife, who looks like Michael Jackson on a bad makeup day? If you want to get rich off the stock market, pay attention to Nancy Pelosi's trades, because during the past four decades as a public servant, she's raked in $250 million. That's what her net worth is. Is she a rare kind of genius, or could it be that she uses insider trading and is getting away with it? Pelosi's husband sold more than $500,000 worth of Visa stock less than 3 months before the government slapped the company with federal antitrust charges. That speaks volumes. Yep, Nancy raised eyebrows by dumping $1.3 million worth of NVIDIA stock last month. We may have just found out why she did it. The company's value tanked by an astounding 17% yesterday, its largest percentage loss since the original COVID crash. From a market capitalization perspective, it shed $589 billion in value, good for the largest one-day value wipeout of any company in stock history. Interesting perspective, isn't it? And if you're going to post, if you're going to be a doomsayer, we have a West Palm Beach bakery owner, has been arrested, of course. This is maybe not be old news to you, but Shannon DePerrero Atkins, 46 years old, was arrested last Friday during a traffic stop by West Palm Beach police. And, of course, he faces cocaine possession charges. Three bags of the white stuff, which police confirmed was cocaine, were found during the arrest. Unfortunately, none of it belonged to Hunter Biden, unfortunately. And of course, if you're going to go online and you're going to post stuff about threatening to kill the president, guess what? You're going to get arrested. And that's exactly what happened. If you're going to be that stupid, you deserve what you get. Yep, he's sitting in the hooscow. You got to love stupidity, man, but see, you can't fix stupid. I think we all know that. Yeah, David Hill is going to be joining us. He's a friend of Leonard Peltier, the one that Biden just pardoned. He's going to be on the show with us at the bottom of the hour. So stay with us. We got more to come.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits, recognizing the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Need a document notarized even when one or more of the signers is out of state? What a faster way to close your real estate deals by getting your documents professionally notarized online at professionalnotaryonline.com. For more information and to book an appointment, visit ProfessionalNotaryOnline.com or call Aaron at 941-400-8282. A trusted Krieger Files partner. Good in all 50 states. That's 941-400-8282.
From the ranks of the disenfranchised, it's the government's worst nightmare. It's the Krieger Files.
18 minutes after the hour, we're back in the saddle here on this edition. 3.8 magnitude earthquake centered near the Maine coast rattled houses in northern New England yesterday. See, you don't hear a whole lot of this stuff. Not out there. Yep. Surprised residents of states hundreds of miles away. Oh, no, it's only 3.8. It's nothing like the New Madrid Fault. If that ever gives way again, that was, you know, going to be better than a 7, and that'll shake things up. This happened yesterday about 10:22 in the morning. I wonder how many stations actually reported that. You could feel it everywhere in New England, as far away as Pennsylvania. In southern Maine, many residents reported feeling houses and buildings shake. Gee, I wonder why that's happening, huh? People thought there might have been a car accident or an explosion. I mean, they'll make excuses, right? Well, the DeepSeek AI app, which demonstrates pro-CCP bias, we're talking about the Chinese Communist Party here, apparently that really triggered a sharp drop of AI-related stock prices yesterday on Wall Street. And, of course, the Epoch Times, which basically caters to the China situation, Shenyang and all this other stuff. ChatGPT provided detailed answers, including both sides of any given argument, while DeepSeek, that's the name of the app, provided brief answers reminiscent of the CCP's state-controlled media reports. So what happened? Tech-heavy NASDAQ 100 lost almost $1 trillion in value yesterday after DeepSeek's release of its low-cost R1 reasoning model, which led to the realization the U.S. tech giants are pouring billions into AI could get left in the dust by a scrappy Chinese competitor. Just like the student who claims they got a top test score in the class after cramming for 15 minutes, DeepSeek says the model cost only $6 million to build, as little as 3% of the O1's estimated training price tag. So Goldman Sachs believes that DeepSeek's success is emblematic of AI upstart's potential to challenge big tech through the inventive use of resources, though many experts say American companies' access to the most advanced chips still gives them a major edge. Well, part of the problem is a lot of us out there listening to the show don't trust the Chinese Communist Party, let alone TikTok, let alone any of this. They don't even trust the artificial intelligence portion of it. Because like I said, pretty soon it's going to be generating news stories. You're not going to know what to believe. And let's not forget about that New York attorney that got sanctioned $5,000 by the judge because he pissed off the court by submitting a court brief with 12 phony case citations. The law clerks had a field day, couldn't find them, said, "Your Honor, this whole thing is a mess. Nothing of this is legitimate. We think it was written by AI." So guess what? The judge opened up a can of AI on this guy. Now he's part of a major law firm, and oh, they're all embracing it. The real estate community's embracing it. It's just like, wow. How do you know what they're saying is true? Caveat emptor, folks. Buyer beware. HSBC, by the way, is preparing to wind down its mergers and acquisitions in equity capital markets, businesses in Europe, the UK, and the Americas, as part of a major shakeup of its investment banking operations, according to a memo from the bank staff. Here's the thing about HSBC. That's the Hong Kong Shanghai Banking Company. All right, for those of you who don't know what HSBC stands for, these folks are crooks. These folks have engaged and have been cited for money laundering. What can I say? You want to trust them? You want to go bank with HSBC? You get what you get. Speaking of the CCP, Missouri has decided, this is Andrew Bailey, their AG, they're going to be on trial in Missouri. Missouri sued over damages sustained as a result of its actions during the COVID-19 pandemic over hoarding of COVID-19 protective equipment. Wonder if they're going to be able to get away with that. This is going to happen in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. That's down in the boot heel there where the New Madrid Fault is. Missouri's the first state to sue the CCP and its relevant entities over actions it says allowed COVID-19 to spread globally. And now that the CIA's come out with that report, gee, I wonder if they're going to subpoena John Ratcliffe to get on the stand and testify to that. Did you put out that press release? "Not I," said the pig. "Not I," said the cow. "Not I," said the hen. Yeah. The CIA said so. So, hey, it's got to be true what the CIA said, right? You really going to buy into that garbage? And, of course, what they're also not talking about in the mainstream media is about Mexican cartel terrorists opening fire on U.S. agents in Texas near the border. Yep, this is Rio Grande Valley Sector Border Patrol agents engaging in gunfire with cartel members and sought cover as reinforcements were summoned. The agents did not sustain injuries during the initial exchange of gunfire. And, of course, now everybody, according to all the updated reports, they all went home. Except there's apparently four individuals somewhere hiding in the brush out there on that little island out there. I'm just kind of wondering, you know, I got a way we could fix that. See, because if they're hiding in the brush, there's only one way I know of to get rid of the brush, right? From my days back in the Vietnam era, you know, it's called napalm. You gotta love that. Yeah, remember that? What that stuff does, man. You can see all those VC hanging on barbed wire just melting away. Worse than the Wicked Witch of the West when she got a bucket of water thrown on her. Yep. Now let's talk about Jeremy Brown. He's a Green Beret and a former Republican candidate for Congress in Florida's 14th Congressional District. He served in the U.S. Army from 1992 to 2012. He reached the rank of Special Forces Master Sergeant. That means this guy, you know, literally looks like Jason Statham in any one of his movies out there, you know. He also attended the Stop the Steal protests in D.C. on J6, right? He joined the Oath Keepers in November and went to D.C. to provide security. Earlier this month, he started speaking out about how the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force, apparently they showed up at his doorstep and attempted to recruit him to be one of those infiltrators. Oh, yeah, at his home. And he recorded the actual meetup. This is the FBI. So much for integrity, huh? He struggled for months about whether or not to go public with the information, but according to his Facebook page, after listening to politicians and the FBI director, Christopher Wray, may your hens never lay, may the rats eat your mail, may your testicles fail, tell lie after bald-faced lie to the American people, he could not stay silent any longer. So he decided to protect and defend the American people by releasing this TV footage that he took. Band.tv. He released the video of his encounter with government officials. He released the audio of his meeting with the FBI at a local restaurant. He explains the FBI called his cell phone and asked for a meeting after trying to contact him at his house. He then met with FBI agents at a restaurant in Ybor City, that's outside Tampa, on the skirts. He also told Brandon Gray that 38 seconds into the interview, they attempted to recruit him to spy on Oath Keepers. So, how that works? So we know that that's going down, right? We know it is. These people can't be trusted. Neither can the ATF and anybody that voted for this FISA 702 section. And I understand, you know, RFK and all the rest of the, I mean, we're talking about Tulsi. I mean, we're talking about all of them that still have yet to undergo hearings. They are going to drag this out. The Democrats are, as much as they're going to drag out releasing all the J6 prisoners. They are going to stall as much as they can. They're not going to comply with the president's pardon. And the only way that this is going to happen, if the president said you will release immediately, is if the president sends troops into the D.C. gulag and starts arresting people, starting with the warden and all the people there guarding the prison, and maybe all of a sudden all these people will get let out. And any other prison, by the way, that the DOJ is trying to do this, and of course, as you know, they got all the top brass over there at the DOJ got fired. Anybody that couldn't enforce Trump's mandates and edicts, that's edict, right? Kind of crazy out there. So we talked a little bit yesterday, while we have a little bit of time left in this segment, about interest rates. I think we're up to like, what, 7.25 now? That's pretty scary. Who's going to want to go out and get a 7.26% fixed rate mortgage? Who's going to want to? You have all this inventory starting to flood the market. And when the inventory, see, why are they doing it? People are trying to get ahead of the curve by putting their house on the market before the real shakeup happens, because all of the economic pundits out there are saying that we're going to be in a crash situation this year, that property prices are going to plummet and your house won't be worth what you paid for it, which means a lot of people are going to be sitting on their property for the next 2 to 3 years. All those people that got forbearances during COVID, oh, I can't believe they fell for that. They ran to their lender and they said, hey, and it wasn't the lender they were talking to, it was the servicer. Because any of these folks out there that got securitized mortgages, well, guess what? They didn't understand that interest was going to keep piling up on top of interest. It's like a broken record. Next thing you know, they're tens of thousands of dollars in debt over what they were when they went into the forbearance agreement in the first place. See how lockdowns can kill you? We'll be back with David Hill after the break. Stay with us.
Taking back America, one consumer at a time. It's the Krieger Files.
Back from the news break. And of course, as you recollected, for those of you who've been paying attention to the news media reports, outgoing President Biden, on the day that Trump was being sworn in, he basically issued his edict and said, well, we'll let Leonard Peltier out of prison at Coleman and we'll allow him to serve the rest of his sentence at home. Leonard Peltier, as you know, we're talking about the Pine Ridge standoff. Everybody, if you say Pine Ridge, Wounded Knee, I mean, you're like, oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that guy. Well, he was supposedly convicted of the murders of two FBI special agents, Jack Kohler and Ronald Williams. And, of course, this morning I'm sitting there doing a little research, and I find picture number 335, former 10 most wanted fugitive, Leonard Peltier. He was apparently arrested by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. As you know, they always get their man. And, of course, he has been in prison, incarcerated for 50 years. And Biden finally decided to do, well, I don't know about the honorable thing. I mean, Leonard's been having some medical issues lately. And, of course, there's a lot of people out there like David Hill, who joins us on the program now from Oklahoma. And I don't know that you've been, have you been doing many interviews on the air, David, or is this the first one?
On the air, it's the first one. You know, I've been answering a lot of mail and you know, people calling me and stuff like that. And, you know, this is the first one.
So I appreciate that, the opportunity, because, see, people don't know the whole backstory. And that's what's really important here, because, I mean, they hear Wounded Knee, they hear Pine Ridge, and, oh, that bad man, he shot two FBI. That's not really what happened. And, you know, as from talking to people about Leonard's capacity to use a firearm, couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. Now, he wasn't that good of a shot. And I'm hearing reports that he wasn't the one that pulled the trigger that killed those two FBI agents, which would mean he was in prison and convicted wrongfully. And I really think that Trump should just go ahead and pardon him completely and forget about this noise about serving his sentence. I mean, the guy's got medical issues now. You know Leonard personally.
Yeah, I worked with not just Leonard, but there was a whole group of people in that little community that I was working with. I was working at the Indian Center at the time in Rapid City, South Dakota, which is a few miles away, probably about 50 or 60 miles away, whatever. I can't remember. It's been a while. But Leonard was a person who worked in the community. He wasn't the main leader there. Dennis Banks was the main leader. When I say leader, it isn't really like a director-type leader or something. It's more like a person with the maximum influence. And the other thing I just want to touch on real quick, he wasn't being held for murder. He was being held for aiding and abetting. And another thing, just real quickly, every piece of evidence used to convict him has been proven false in court. And James Reynolds, the lead prosecutor of all of that stuff recently, I think James Reynolds died just recently also, but about 2 years ago, he came forth and said that under the guidelines of the law right now, he said they never proved he did anything wrong. They never proved he did anything wrong. And what it is they lied at his trial. They manufactured evidence. They intimidated witnesses. They intimidated jurors. And you think, well, how would you intimidate jurors without being noticeable? Well, when they would take them from the courthouse to the hotel to the courthouse, they would put them in a bus with blacked out windows because they'd make people think they're afraid they're going to be sniped or something. I mean, they did everything they could. And the other thing that's real significant about this is that two men went on trial for exactly the same thing, the same incident and everything. They went on trial before Leonard Peltier, and they were acquitted by reason of self-defense. The defense proved that those agents and a goon squad by a crooked tribal government there had created a level of fear and terror that gave these people the feeling they have to defend themselves. And there'd been a lot of drive-bys where they lived and stuff. And these two agents that started this thing came up to there and started a shootout, and they were in unmarked car, unmarked clothing. And so they didn't know they were FBI agents. The people there, I'm not talking about any individual, the people there were shooting back. And eventually they were killed. Well, Leonard was originally considered a co-defendant. There was just three people on it, and they were basically the primary influence in the community. And when I say influence, they were repairing buildings and stuff like that, and they were talking against alcoholism and things like that, and, you know, kind of trying to rebuild the community. And the community had requested some American Indian Movement people to come help them because they were opposing the tribal government at that time was in the process with corporations and the government to sign over 1/8 of the reservation for gas, oil, and uranium exploration. And the traditional people were against that. And so they were being harassed by this goon squad, by the crooked tribal chairman at that time. His name was Dick Wilson. And the goon squad, the reason that people started calling him the goon squad is because he called his group Guardians of the Oglala Nation, which spells goon. So, you know, the people were being harassed by them, so they asked AIM people to come. And so Leonard and a couple of his cousins and other guys came, and they just integrated into the community and started helping rebuild the community. And ultimately, these agents came in there. And one of the things at the trial was kind of introduced to one of their evidence was they said the reason they were out there was because they were looking for some other person that had stolen some cowboy boots. Well, since when is the FBI looking for shoplifters or whatever, you know?
Yeah, no kidding.
But, yeah. Anyway, their whole case was crooked. And in the ensuing years since then, I mean, there's been millions of people signed petitions and things to get Leonard Peltier free. And you've had congressmen and senators and world leaders and even the Pope one time influenced or tried to use influence to get Leonard's case thrown out. And I wouldn't doubt that he called and talked to Biden this last time. There was people trying to bring that about, and I haven't kept track of those people or how successful they were. But there's been people all over the world recognize that he was wrongfully charged, wrongfully convicted. And those guys, by that court decision, were not murdered. They were killed in self-defense. And there was an Indian guy that was killed by the police at that time. Now, there was immediately after the shootout started, there was like 250 cops all over the place. There was FBI and federal marshals and stuff within minutes of it. So it sounded like a setup to promote some kind of shootout or something, or some kind of deal. But people all over the world have recognized the wrongness of that trial, the conviction, and everything that went on there. Oh, it's been about 2 years ago, the United Nations signed a declaration demanding that the United States free Leonard Peltier. And like I said, the original prosecutors said they really had no case against him. And again, there was a young man that they killed there with a sniper, shot him through the head up by the house. And there was no inquiry about his death whatsoever. And what has happened over the years is when there was a law that benefited Native people, the indigenous people, if the law favored us, they would ignore the law or they'd change the law. And that's the way it's always been. And right now, a lot of our people are really concerned because Trump is mostly about money. And all of our problems have been about money and resources. If you look at all over the world, it's happened. It's been about money and resources. There's been war after war after war. The United States, since its inception, has, it's like 250 years, I can't remember. 1976 was 200 years. Well, since then, of all the time America's existed, there's only been like 17 years that it hasn't been at war with somebody. You know, it just goes on and on, and the bottom line, it's about money and resources.
The thing is, David, is that some of these, like Cherokee Nation and whatnot, Choctaw, they have casinos, and they don't seem to have a problem acquiring money. As a matter of fact, at one time, somebody called me, and they said, would you like to be a tribal attorney? And I'm going, I'm not a licensed attorney. I can't do that. They said, you don't need to be a tribal lawyer. And I said, yeah, but I got to know what's going on in the tribe. I can't go in and start practicing law in a tribal court unless I know what's going on, other than the fact that, you know, the Native Americans were here first. That I know. David Hill is with us. First time ever. Need a document notarized even when one or more of the signers is out of state? What a faster way to close your real estate deals by getting your documents professionally notarized online at ProfessionalNotaryOnline.com. For more information and to book an appointment, visit ProfessionalNotaryOnline.com or call Aaron at 941-400-8282. A trusted Krieger Files partner. Good in all 50 states. That's 941-400-8282.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits. Recognizing that the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Molesting your earballs one more time. It's the Krieger Files with your host, Dave Krieger.
And we're back for our final segment with David Hill. David Hill is a close associate of Leonard Peltier, who is on February 18th of this year going to be released from the Coleman unit, federal lockup, and he will serve according to the thing signed by Biden. He didn't do Leonard Peltier any favors, I'm telling you, because Leonard hadn't been in good health. And he's going to end up back in the reservation up in North Dakota, more than likely, where I guess the, David, the tribe has provided for him to a place to live and all that good stuff.
Yeah, basically the tribe is providing him with a home and everything, but he's confined to the house. He'll probably be wearing ankle bracelet. And basically what they did is they inflicted what they've done before is basically concentration camp rules on him. He can't go anywhere. He can only stay in that house. And I imagine he can probably go out in the yard or something, but that ankle bracelet will be monitoring everything he does, you know.
And yeah,
it's most people don't really know that much about the case because it's been going on for so long, but I think one of the things all American needs to look at is if they can do it to one person, they can do it to someone else. And a lot of people feel immune because they go to their job every day, they work every day, they pay their taxes and stuff. But they don't realize these people they see on TV that are arguing and demonstrating against some aspect of this government's oppressive behavior is defending their rights also. And I've met person after person who would come to us as American Indian Movement and said, hey, can you help us? And there are people who had never been involved before, but eventually whatever happened came around to them. They took their land. They took their children. They arrested some person. They didn't give them a fair trial, or they shot some person who was standing there with a cell phone in his hand or something. You know, if people don't stand up collectively, they will be discriminated against and mistreated and attacked individually. And that's it doesn't matter what color you are. If there was no people of color in this country, they would be doing it to the poor white people. And that, and those people, Europeans that came over here to get away from that kings and barons and all of those warlords and stuff, where they were nothing more than peasants, you know, living in squalor and disease and stuff over there. And they saw a new life over here. Well, what is ultimately happening is the wealth of this nation, the resources of this nation, is allowing some of those people from that type of background to recreate the same thing that they left. And if people don't stand up and speak out about it, it will be recreated. They will recreate the same thing they tried to get away with. For instance, of all the, I'll say the top 33 nations in the world, developed the nations, they call it developed, America is the only one that doesn't have health care. And they send money all over, like they send billions of dollars to Israel. And Israel has free medical and free schooling, grade school through college. We don't have it over here. You know, we've got all kinds of homeless people over here, and they're sending billions of dollars to control other countries. There's approximately 1,000 military bases all over the world, 700 and something thousand soldiers stationed all over the world, and that's to drain them of their the wealth of those nations, their gas, oil, coal, diamonds, lithium, all that kind of stuff, you know. And as human beings, we need to protect this Mother Earth, and that's what it is about Native American culture that's so challenging to government and other governments and indigenous people all over the world. Is we have to live in harmony with our environments. You know, I was reading the other day that chimpanzees are two chromosomes more than humans, and that's what makes us really different. And we think, wow, that's what made us so intelligent. Well, the chimpanzees don't destroy their environment. And if left alone, they live happily and do their own thing, you know, and the earth flourishes. Well, as intelligent as we are, we're destroying the earth and nature and our own environment. So who is really intelligent? What is intelligent about destroying where you live? It's like someone give you a beautiful home and you start tearing the wiring out and selling the copper and selling the water and polluting it. And, you know, it just goes on and on. So we have to reevaluate what is sane about our behavior on this earth. And Native American culture calls for us to live in harmony with the creator, the Mother Earth, your fellow man, respect your brother's vision, things like that. In this country, we were free to do whatever we want so long as we didn't hurt each other or anyone else. And when you are destroying your environment, you are hurting not just yourself and the people around you, but you're hurting the future generations. People talk about worshiping the creator. Well, the earth and nature is the greatest manifestation of the creator we have to relate to. And people always hold up a book of, and I'm not just talking about one particular, the whole book and said, God told me this and God told me that. Well, I've never heard of a homeowner telling the people living there, hey, destroy it, sell the wood, pollute the thing, don't worry about it, I'll build you another one. You know, that's men listening to some, maybe a voice in their head or something says, go over and kill all those people and take everything they've got, you know, stuff like that. I mean, this, mm-hmm. this whole religions developed around exploitation and invasion and oppression. And there's nothing worshiping about that. Worship is something, you know, a creator who knows all is not going to be impressed by someone trying to flatter them. You know, a lot of people think flattery is the highest form of worship. Well, highest form of worship is to respect the creation. That is real, true worship. And that's the basis of Native American culture, you know. We didn't have a religion. We had a way of life. Our way of life was to live in harmony with these things. We had ceremonies where, and all of our ceremonies tend to develop self-discipline. And the Europeans came over. They used to, they thought there was a fountain of youth somewhere because people their age were so much younger looking. Well, we had 100% health food diet. We had no communicable diseases before the Europeans came. And that's why so many of us, aside from them, they figured out that we got sick from their stuff and died, and they gave our people poison blankets. They did everything they could to kill us, and they killed approximately 90 million people, 90-something million people. Most people don't know that, and they purposefully did it. You know, they would go out and arrest some Indians, put them in jail with somebody that was sick, and then turn them loose. They'd go back home, make everybody sick, and everybody die.
Well, yeah, how is Leonard, though? I want to focus. We got about 4 minutes left, and I wanted to talk about Leonard. You've communicated with him?
I haven't talked to him since this thing took place. It's been a while since I talked to him, but I've been the director of the Peltier Defense Committee 6 different times on an interim level. Sometimes I was there for 8 months getting it back up and running over the 50 years. I knew him before. We planted community gardens together out there where he was and all that kind of stuff. So I know Leonard really well. I know what his values are, and I've worked with him. You know, like I said, I've been the director of the Peltier Defense Committee 6 different times.
Sure. And, this situation with Leonard, though, he's going to get out on the 18th of February. Are you going to have any kind of interaction with him when he is released?
Oh, yeah. I have a sacred pipe. When I say sacred pipe, most people don't know what it is. We have a Sundance pipes that are made of pipestone, which comes from Pipestone, Minnesota, where it's a sacred area where they make these sacred pipes and use them in Sundance and ceremonies and stuff. And I have this pipe here that they sent me years ago to keep for him. And I'm going to go up and represent it back to him at some point. I want him to, we all want him to enjoy whatever's left of his life. We want him to laugh and be with his family and enjoy the sunshine and walking in the grass and have a joyful reunion with the earth and his family and stuff. And so,
well, and it would be symbolic. It would be symbolic if they would pardon him, if Trump would give him a full pardon and forget about the money and forget about all that. Because I mean, the gentleman has been incarcerated for 50 years. And what I really want to get down to is a lot of the people that were involved in this case are dead. And some of them suspicious, but what I want to know is, the suspected shooter, nobody knows who the suspected shooter is, but you've got a pretty damn good idea who it was. Can you divulge
it? Well, no, his cousin, who was one of the people acquitted, later said he was the shooter. He told the FBI he was the shooter.
But they didn't care.
If he hadn't have already been exonerated, they would have arrested him and charged him. And at one point, he called me one time, and it was years later, we told him that if they know for sure that you're the shooter, they will probably get somebody to kill you somehow, some way. And years later, he got in touch with me and said, hey, I wanted to put it out there so they will back off on Leonard and let them know that I was the shooter, you know. And in fact, the gun that they presented at Leonard's trial was his gun. They took it from him, you know, and they said, this is the gun that killed the agents, belonged to Leonard Peltier. It was proven later that they did not get a match on the gun because the gun had been in a fire, and so they couldn't get a match on it. But Bob Robert, who said he was the shooter, and I told him, he said he was in Spain. He had started him a art gallery there, and he called and said, I want to put the word out there. And I said, well, I fear for your safety, but if you want, I'll help you. 2 weeks later, they said they found him in his art gallery. They said he had fallen and hit his head.
Oh,
he
no.
He's dead.
Yep. Bob Robideau, that's the shooter. Leonard Peltier, wrongfully convicted. Ladies and gentlemen, we're out of time for today, but I hope you got something out of this and you'll do your research and investigate what's going on behalf of the American Indian Movement. In the meantime, we will see you tomorrow. God bless you and God bless the United States of America.